Jesus is precious, He is so precious. Jesus is precious to me. He is my Savior, Lord and my Master. Jesus is precious to me. Jesus is so precious. Jesus is precious to me. He is my Savior, Lord and my Master. Jesus is precious.
Let's continue that theme as we begin our morning worship this morning of Jesus being precious to us. In our hymnal, page 461, 461, He is so precious to me. This song, I know probably Brother Paul's heard this a million times, but this song is very precious to our family. When my sister many years ago suffered that brain aneurysm that I mentioned to you, not knowing, this was right in the early hours of this event, not knowing whether she would live or die, this song became very real to my parents. And instead of just praying for my sister, they sang this song together. Jesus is precious. He is so precious to me. So let's sing in belief that He's going to become more precious to us. And He does that by giving us a greater sight of Himself. It's not that we just develop a greater love, but when we see Him, when we see Him with the eyes of faith, with the eyes of our soul, He can't help but become more precious because of His beauty, the beauty of His holiness. So let's sing it together and believe that it's going to be so. He is so precious to me. 461.
So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To Him in my weakness, for strength I can cling. For He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. To know, for He is is so precious to me. He stood at my heart's door mid sunshine and rain, and patiently waited an entrance to gain. What shame. Precious to me, 'tis heaven below, my Redeemer to know, for He is so precious to me. I stand on the mountain of blessing at last, no cloud shadow to pass. His smile is upon me, the valley is past. For He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. So precious to me, 'tis heaven below, my Redeemer to know, for He is so precious to me. I praise Him because He appointed a place where someday through faith in His wonderful grace, I know I shall see Him, shall look on His face. For He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. Precious to me, 'tis heaven below, my Redeemer to know, for He is so precious to me.
Oh Lord Jesus, Jesus, we worship You, we worship You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Jesus, we worship You. Jesus, we worship You. Jesus, we worship You. Jesus, we worship You. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. One of the terms that has been used to describe Pilgrim Camp throughout the years is a vestibule of heaven. Anybody ever heard Pilgrim Camp described that way? Yeah? A vestibule of heaven. That came to me as we were singing this song, because you see what the end of that chorus says? I was going to start it again, but throat's getting just a little tired. Those high notes are getting a little tougher to hit. But see what it says? 'Tis heaven below. What is heaven below? Is it Pilgrim Camp? Is it the beauty, which we love? Is seeing our brothers and sisters, whom we love? Is that what it is? Nope. 'Tis heaven below, my Redeemer to know. For He is so precious to me. One of the reasons why this place is appropriately described as a vestibule of heaven is because it is a place where people can come and come to know Jesus and to know him better, to know him more intimately, spend time with him, focus upon him, allowing him to minister himself to us, his life, his spirit. And the more we, and as we come to know him, what happens? 'Tis heaven below, my Redeemer to know, for he is so precious to me. That's what makes this place a vestibule of heaven. And you know, everywhere, anywhere can be a vestibule of heaven. This place tends to be so more because that's why we come here. You know, we're not always so taken up with the affairs of life and all of those other things that distract us. We have a little more chance, unless you're on the staff. And you got to work a little bit harder at it because you got some things to keep you busy, don't you? So do you, right? Have a few things to keep you busy. But we have those moments. We have time where we can just focus our eyes upon him, like we sang, turning our eyes upon Jesus, just looking full in his wonderful face. And he becomes more precious to us as we see his beauty. And he becomes so precious. That's why the things of earth grow strangely dim. Because he's all we want to look at. He's all that we want to see. And all of a sudden we realize we're in heaven below. Why? Because we're coming to know our Redeemer. Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. It's that that one of my favorite songs. And so let's sing that one more time. For he is so precious to me. And let's believe that we are going to come to know him better. Just the chorus, if you know the words. If not, it's 461. But let's sing it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. For he is so precious to me.
About camp being a vestibule of heaven, something that our founder, Hans Waldvogel, indicated through a message from the Lord,
yes,
that God wanted this place to be a vestibule of heaven.
Yes.
Yes.
And we cherish the fact that people express how they can sense the presence of the Lord here. That is something very precious to us, to the founders, of course, at the time, and down through the ages, the ministers now involved with the camp work. And that is why we are so careful here at camp, to keep the presence of the Lord. Sometimes I think, oh my goodness, if the Lord left us, if we didn't sense Him like this, what, how awful that would be.
Yes.
And that's why we attend to please the Lord in so many ways here. We endeavor to, in our dress, in the rules perhaps, that may be a little strange. We don't exactly wear high-button shoes, but we try to keep things that would please the Lord. We don't want to deviate in any way. I remember a parent telling me that her son was a camper here many years ago. Not too many years ago, maybe around 20 years ago. And I remember him, I remember his name, that is. And he went through camp, and then I don't know if he lost his way, I don't know what the status of his heart is, but he brought his girlfriend home to meet his mom, and he started talking about camp, and he said, that's the only place I ever felt God, you could feel God right on the ground. The mother was surprised because he never expressed that to her.
Yeah.
But he kept that inside. And oh, that the Lord would not make us proud of that. Oh, God, help us not that we're not proud of that. That we're very careful to appreciate that God is present here.
Yes.
He may help us to be careful in our words, our attitudes. How easy it is to be on staff and to get an attitude because we work closely with people. We go to church and we see them for an hour and a half, and it's we don't really know them, do we? But, oh, the Bible talks about it, doesn't it? Rubbing against each other, and how wonderful it is that we can express our love to Jesus by our relationship with each other, and God can mold us and make us. But oh, how important it is to have those attitudes right before God. Yes. He can help us, and He does help us.
Yes.
We're thankful that God is in the changing business.
Yes.
Amen. We don't have to stay the way we are.
Amen.
Things in our lives that God convicts us of, He changes us. Remember in grade school when the kids would stand around that the counter and the Bunsen burner was there and the teacher would have the test tube? They may do it all differently now, I'm not sure, but the thing was to see that thing change from a liquid to a gas or from a blue to a red or whatever, but that change, how important that change was, and the same in our lives, how we need to be changed so that we're in His likeness.
Yes.
Thankful that as we spend time here at camp, He is able to do that for us. And oh, that I give my heart to Him more fully every day. Open my heart, open my ears, that I may sense what God is trying to tell me and deal with me now.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
Changed from glory into glory, till in Him we take our place, till we cast our crowns before Him, lost in wonder, love,
sing that. Page 3. Love divine, all loves excelling. If anyone also has a word for the Lord, feel free to share. Love divine, let's sing it together. First verse.
Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling. crown, Jesus, thou art all compassion.
Sing the second for us, all the ladies.
Breathe on me.
Gentlemen, we got a few of us here. Let's sing the third verse together.
Come Almighty to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, nevermore thy temples leave. Thee we would be blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above, pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love.
Now sing this in faith.
Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our love and grace, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love and grace.
Jesus, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We bow before you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus.
That's created.
Jesus.
Jesus, yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
One of my favorite activities is to look at something that is not necessarily spiritual or religious in nature and look at it from a biblical perspective. Look at it through a Christian worldview. I know those terms become very popular lately, the whole worldview, which is, I think, vital for us as Christians to be able to do. And this year, I picked up, after I retired from teaching in public school, I picked up another teaching gig at a parochial school. A dear friend of mine called me, loves the Lord. We've been friends our entire lives. And he called me one morning in September, 6 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, why are you calling me? I'm retired. Why you don't call me 6 o'clock in the morning? And he said, he's a principal of a parochial school. And he said, I need a teacher. I said, okay, well, that's nice. I said, why are you calling me? He goes, you interested? I said, I don't know. Make me an offer. He goes, can you come in? We'll talk. I was like, yeah, sure. You know, when do you want me to come in? Can you come in soon? This morning? But anyway, the reason I say that is it's been really a blessing to be able to speak, and I know our sister Susan, and if we have others here who have worked in public schools, it's a real blessing to be able to speak so openly about the Lord. You know, after decades in a public school, you learn how to do things, and you learn how to work your language. You know, you can say things without saying things, if you know what I mean. But to just speak so openly about the Lord and pull that all in, what a blessing our public school students miss when they can't really just speak about it. Even when you study American history, I mean, God is so in there and all over. But I'm leading to something, because one of my favorite activities this year, something I'd actually taught in our church years ago, was you may be familiar with the novel Les Miserables by Victor Hugo. And it's quite a book. It's really long. But it's a masterpiece, and of course, most popularly, it's been turned into a musical, which of course has been performed all over the world. And I had the opportunity to teach that story from a biblical perspective to my students, and even quite a few teachers would pop in here and there, because it really is it's a masterpiece, but from a biblical perspective. It's a masterpiece of the victory of the grace of God. How God's grace can change someone's life and the effect that it can have. And there's a moment in the musical version, as the first act is about to end, all of these various characters, these variety of individuals, the wretched ones, Les Miserables, which is what that means. They're all wondering, they're all caught in this story and wondering how this is going to work out, how is this going to play out. It's political, there's personal, there's all sorts of things going on. And each one is wondering, how do I fit into this? Where is this story going to lead me? And as that first act draws to a close, every one of these characters, it's my favorite moment in that version, they sing these words: tomorrow we will find out what our God in heaven has in store. One more dawn, one more day, one day more. As I was thinking about our lesson, I was thinking, this stuff rolls through my head a lot. It's tough to get rid of it, you know? It kind of gets stuck in there, especially when you know you're going to do it in a couple hours. But as I was thinking about our lesson this morning, all of a sudden, those words just broke into my heart, into my mind, my soul. Tomorrow we'll discover what our God in heaven has in store. One more dawn, one more day, one day more. Remember Esther's request of the king? Tomorrow, I want to have another feast for you. And then I will make my desires known to the king. And so, before we begin our study, could we sing together in our hymnal, page 301, I know who holds tomorrow. Thank you, Brother Paul. Everybody was so busy turning their pages. Or maybe you're unfamiliar with this song. I know who holds tomorrow. Let's sing it together. We'll keep it zipping. This is one of those songs that could drag a little, but it's marvelous in its message. 301. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who hopes tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. Let's read the second verse with me. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining. There no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. Verse 3. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through covered with his blood. Many things